Blog Talk Radio.
Rumors spreading around in that Texas town. About the shack outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
That's right when the song gets good, right there, right? It's all the build-up, gets right to that moment, and you want to listen to it. It's cut off at 42 seconds. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is William Tincup. We are broadcasting live from Oklahoma, Sherman, Tulsa. So, OKHR, if you follow the hashtag OKHR, you're going to see all kinds of good things yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So a lot of speakers, a lot of people, familiar faces, people that you would know and love, a lot of great content. So just make sure you're paying attention to that hashtag. That'd be fan-damn-tastic. So, Tiffany, I always had the pronunciation of your name as cool, and Robin Schooling has corrected me and told me she is cool, but that's not the pronunciation of your name. So I apologize if I've ever referred to you as Tiffany Cool, because I just kind of thought that was
good.
A cool way.
It's all good.
Right?
It's Tiffany's all good. Cool. It's Keel.
Yeah. Keel. Yeah. And she did correct me, and I wanted you to know that I had that wrong, but it didn't come from a terrible place, I would tell you. So we're doing this whole thing this week where we really focus on y'all, the wonderful contributors of Performance I Create. Y'all been creating a lot of great content over the last 3 years. And you got a lot of years in front of you to continue. So, you know, the good news is, you know, the last 3 years have been fantastic. And now the pressure's on.
I have a few more years than Steve does, just so we're clear on that.
Ah, seniority. You're going to go ahead and play the seniority card.
He's just a little bit more, he's more seasoned than I am. So
seasoned.
I have a little bit more run.
Baked, I think, is the word. So we're now generations at work. So now this is boomers. Yeah, I got it.
There you go.
Do us a favor, and Tiffany, we'll start with you. Introduce yourself. Tell the audience about you, and then Steve, you introduce yourself as well.
Happy to do so. Thanks for having me back, you guys. This is great. Tiffany Keel, and I am based out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, talent acquisition, recruiting, human resources for nearly 20 years now, currently serving as the president of our local SHRM chapter, Twin Cities Human Resource Association, working as a talent acquisition manager with an organization called MTS Systems Corporation, leading recruiting there, and you've been a volunteer with SHRM chapter in the area for over 10 years and have the opportunity to meet great folks like Steve and Dave, the HRs are, and then get involved with things like Performance I Create and expanding my network through writing and hopefully making an impact on other people's lives and what they do at work.
I'm Steve Brown. I am old, seasoned, and grizzled, evidently. And I've been in HR back when it was, I guess, before personnel, whatever that was called. I'm the head of HR, the executive director of HR for La Rosa's. It's a pizzeria in southwest Ohio. We just celebrated our 60th year as a concept, and it's a fantastic company. Involved in a lot of things in the HR field as much as I can be. I'm the current MAC rep or Membership Advisory Council rep for the North Central region for SHRM and past state director of Ohio SHRM, and I could go on and on. I just love what I do and love making HR real.
And both of y'all are extremely positive role models. Tiffany, you were just in the SHRM magazine. I love seeing that. You know, it's one of those magazines you just kind of tool through. And all of a sudden I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I know her. I know her. I need to get this autographed.
Did you say cool? Did you say cool?
Yeah, I did
cool.
Say cool.
Oh, Kiel. Oh, cool. Dang it.
Dude, I'm never, I mean, it's, I dated a girl. Now I've been married for 20 years, so there's that. But the last girl, the last girl I dated before I dated my wife was, her name was Stacy. And I had her meet my mother, and my mother never got her name right. And so I automatically knew that the relationship was doomed because she kept calling her Tracy. Okay, so this will just never work out. Got it, not long term. Anyhow, I'll probably never get Tiffany's name right, but I'll always think that she's cool. So there's that.
Well, we can still be friends.
Right? There you go. So both of y'all are extremely active, not only with SHRM, but both in your local statewide chapters too, with Minnesota SHRM and Ohio SHRM. Let's talk a little bit about content because, again, we're celebrating this whole week. We're celebrating Performance I Create, the wonderful multi-contributor blog that it is. Why did y'all get involved? So let's start back to the when you first got involved. And Steve, because you have seniority, I mean, you know, being grizzled, we'll go with you first. Why'd you get involved, and what do you get out of it, and what are you trying to do over there?
I got involved, William, because it was a chance for a group of practitioners to talk about what we do, and it wasn't a forum that was limited or so structured. People were allowed to bring their own voice because every work environment is different. How companies view HR is different. And to be able to bring more content that could be used, you know, so to speak, in the trenches is very encouraging. It also allows us to stretch a little. I think one of the challenges we have as a field is we keep playing to the middle when we have an opportunity to stretch. So a contributor blog like this allows us to do that.
And Tiffany, what about you?
Yeah, I think a lot of the same of what Steve has said, and you know, I don't, you know, unlike the rest of the PIC crew, the Performance I Create team, I don't have my own blog. You know, the writing I was doing was limited to the newsletter for my local chapter, but you know, like I mentioned, you know, got kind of tuned into the blog and other activity going on in the social sphere, you know, just through LinkedIn, Twitter, being involved with my local chapter, the state council, and then, you know, attending different conferences, you know, was kind of introduced to a couple of different folks and was asked, you know, Chris Fields, you kind of saw, you know, how I was interacting with people, that I had a voice that maybe was a little bit different than, you know, what some of the other contributors were offering. So he invited me to contribute and participate on the PIC team. And I, you know, I didn't say yes right away, but the apprehension was not because I didn't think I had a voice, but I didn't want to let the rest of the team down if for some reason, you know, I wasn't able to contribute or I felt maybe I didn't have something really relevant to say, you know, in a given month. So I did reach out to Chris Ponder and asked, you know, hey, you know, why me? Why now? What do you think I'm able to contribute? And as I was thinking about it, I got a call from Dave Ryan who, you know, kind of reiterated what Chris Fields had to say. So, you know, just having the vote of confidence from the folks that were already contributing and that they were, you know, seeing something that, you know, I was able to contribute not just to the group but to our readers, our colleagues across the nation was very helpful. And, you know, I found that, you know, it's helped me to perform even better on the job. And then, you know, having, you know, one-on-one interactions with folks who have read, you know, things that I've written or things that the rest of my team has written is it's amazing. It's a great experience.
So I want to ask you about practitioner content, people that have been working at desk versus non-practitioners. So they could be vendor, analyst, thought leader, consultant, you know, should come up with another word, but basically someone that doesn't work at desk. What's the difference in your mind between practitioner-centric content and non-practitioner content? And Tiffany, we'll go with you first and then Steve, you second.
Well, I think it's all relevant because, you know, consultants, vendors, you know, are supporting the work that the, you know, quote-unquote full desk practitioners do. There are things that, you know, depending on the size of our organization and, you know, what we're tasked with doing, we can't do it all. You know, I'm in a medium-sized organization coming from a large organization where there were tons of resources. Now in a little bit smaller company, you know, I have to rely on, you know, consultants and third-party vendors to help me execute and work my full desk. So I think everyone has a voice and everyone is relevant. It's just, you know, making sure that, you know, what we're doing and what we're saying is helpful to all of those folks, to the, you know, the vendors that are trying to sell into us, and, you know, how do we, you know, politely say thanks but no thanks, and tell me more about, you know, what you have to offer, and, you know, like you were talking about, William, in your session, if, you know, things, how you interact and how you select a vendor is key. You know, making sure that they're offering training, that they're, you don't have to pay for that stuff, you know, it's they're all relevant. There really isn't, you know, one isn't better than the other, in my opinion.
Steve?
I agree. I think too much of our field tries to compartmentalize itself. You know, I'm a vendor, I'm a this, I'm a that. And instead of us seeing it integrated as a web across the field, we keep trying to make our own camps. If there's a downside to either side, I sometimes see consultants being more critical of the field, sometimes for their own voice or for their own, you know, look at me, I'm a radical, and ooh, and I just think that's kind of silly. Because, you know, self-proclaimed titles never really fit. I love when people on both sides offer content because too many practitioners don't pay attention to consultants. That's a short-sighted thing on our side. Some of my best friends are not practitioners, and some of the best resources I know are not practitioners. That's not to make light of my side either, but it's terrible that we can't look at each other as a whole, a collaborative. We have to try and pick sides. I think it takes away from our field, and we need to try and come together.
So, okay, fantastic. Have y'all written or anything that has forced you to articulate a view that you really didn't know you had? And what I mean by that is what I find sometimes when I write is in the comment section, I learn something that I didn't really intend to learn about maybe a view or a take or a philosophy or a framework or whatever that I didn't really know. It was like a closely held belief. I threw it out there in front of the public audience only to be challenged mightily on my flimsy belief. And so I want to kind of get to the content of intended versus unintended. And when you'll put something out in front of a public, in front of an audience, the good and the bad can happen. And so I want to talk inside the context of performance I create. What have y'all learned about yourselves in writing? And Steve, you go first.
Well, the first thing I think I've learned is it's freeing. It's great to get your ideas out and have other people take a look at them, even though there's a challenge with that. You know, it's nice to get support, but it's also good to get criticism and challenge. I think the biggest thing I've learned is people tend to hold pretty strong lines of what they think HR is or isn't, and that's really hard for me personally because when anybody comes across and say, well, I think HR is extremely technical and should be black and white and all this kind of stuff, I just want to go, do you work with people? Because the people I know don't tend to feel that way or look that way or act that way. But it really has broadened my perspective to try and learn how other people view HR and not just take in my own take on things. And I like that. I've learned from writing more than just feeling I'm a constant contributor.
Yeah, and a little bit of the same on that front. And, you know, a specific example for me is, you know, being in recruiting and talking about, you know, the buzzword of the last, you know, couple of years, and that's candidate experience. And there's just such a you know, kind of a battle. Does it exist? Is it made up? And, you know, I truly believe that it does exist. And then just not necessarily, you know, the contrasting opinion directly in responses and replies to my article about it, but just seeing that there are other people who have a severely and drastically differing opinion on it. But just knowing that it's okay for me to express my opinion and share that, you know, I firmly believe something and it's based on my experience, it's based on real life, and it's, you know, the interactions that I have, not just with candidates, but recently as a candidate, that, you know, it does exist. And no, you don't have to go out and, you know, spend millions of dollars on a tool or technology because, you know, there's conversations around that. And, you know, is there a return on investment? Is it impacting the bottom line? Well, no, it's not ultimately, but the people that you're bringing into your organization are. So in my opinion, it's extremely important to take care of those candidates, take care of those people, because they will turn around and talk about who you are as an organization. It reflects your brand. It reflects the culture that you're trying to foster as an organization. So the writing piece of it for me, it's just making sure that, you know, I can feel confident knowing that, you know, what I have to say matters, and, you know, it's making an impact with other people throughout, you know, my network and their networks.
Well, that's really cool. Tiffany and Steve, this is Nisha. Hi to both.
Hi, Nisha.
Hi, Nisha.
Hi. Well, to Tiffany's point, and I totally agree, the comments part of this blog is where the normal, what would it be, major conversation that happened, that two-way communication that happens, and it is real good. And what I can add to Tiffany's thought is, like, you're all practitioners, but at some point when you write your thoughts and when you share your thoughts, you are actually acting as a consultant to your readers. I mean, as an advisor to your readers, right? So at that point, what do you consider some of the lessons that the real consultants don't know what an HR practitioner is dealing with? Because being an HR practitioner, we are able to share what is happening in the real world of work, right? So from that point, my question to Tiffany first and then to Steve, what do you consider some of the lessons that consultants should see, have, or learn from HR practitioners?
That's a really great question, Nisha, and I think it goes both ways. I think we as practitioners can learn from consultants because consultants mm-hmm. are, you know, in the course of their day, their week, they're interacting with multiple people representing multiple organizations in different situations. So I think it's equally important for us as practitioners to try to learn from our consultants. What I think consultants and partners outside of an organization need to be aware of is the different nuances within an organization. I mean, we've got regulations, we've got compliance, we have boards of directors we need to respond to. So we, you know, our agendas are set by someone else. We are accountable and responsible to, you know, a variety of individuals. So sometimes the turnaround time on, you know, projects or an email response or just the regular day-to-day stuff may take a little bit longer because we do have the, you know, some things in HR that, you know, we have to sign off on or we have to get someone's approval on. So there are things that govern what we do day-to-day that consultants may not have to deal with.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the other side that we both can learn from, Nisha, is approach. Typically, both on the consultant side and on the practitioner side, we jump right to product. I have something you need. I tell a story. I had a guy call once and said, I have something you need, and that's how he introduced himself. And I said, well, that's really cool. I need a kidney. And he went, what? And he says, I want to talk to you about 401k plans. And it had nothing to do with what we were doing. We forget the human side of what we are. We jump automatically to tasks and systems. Consultants can help HR people be better HR people. if they focus on the people first. Build a relationship with the company. HR people can help some consultants better by saying, I expect to have a relationship with you first, and jump in and go from there. It doesn't make sense to just go straight to the business, because when you go to the business, you miss all the nuances and context that Tiffany was talking about. It's just we're more concerned with what we do than who we are. And I think that's a big miss in all of us.
Wonderful. Well, I totally agree with you all. I mean, as Tiffany said, it goes both ways. And we have to learn something from the consultants as well. And like William, he did his presentation on user adoption, software success and satisfaction at OKHR. We all, as an HR professional, we all deal with HR software. But unless we, you know, use that, or we kind of go through the implementation, we don't even know what are some of the steps that we have to, you know, take into consideration, or some questions that should be asked to the vendors. So the consultants, they help us take better decisions, choose a better way of doing things. So it's great. So the next question is about the relevancy. You know, Tiffany, in the beginning, you talked a little bit about the blogs that are out there, content that are out there. But when it comes to, like, crowdsourcing, how do you identify? Crowdsourcing is also a way of, communicating ideas and thoughts, and then sharing ideas and thoughts, even if it is through social media or, yeah, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. But how do you kind of identify which one is relevant?
As far as the responses, well, it's hard to say, to differentiate what is relevant, because I think it all is in some way, shape, or form. If I pick and choose and say, well, this one agrees with me, this one agrees with me, then I've kind of defeated the purpose of crowdsourcing, to get a diverse response and, you know, a well-rounded, you know, perspective on a topic. Now that I think about it, have used crowdsourcing to help kind of generate an idea for a post, and it had to do with diversity, which, you know, was great. You know, I simply posted on Facebook, hey, what's your definition of diversity? And, you know, in true fashion, people responded with a variety of, well, it's this, it's that, it's people, it's gender, it's, you know, everything. So I think to say what is or isn't relevant when you're crowdsourcing kind of goes, in my opinion anyway, Nisha, goes against why you would crowdsource. But, depending on where you're doing it, where you're soliciting the information, you're going to get, of course, the likes, the pluses, hey, I agree with, you know, what Melissa said, or I agree with what Sarah said, or, hey, Brian Wempen said this, or, you know, a person in my grad school class had a different experience, and this is, you know, it all depends on, you know, the end game. What are you trying to solve for? What is the lesson you're trying to learn or share? So, you know, I think it's all relevant.
I agree. I think the thing that's exciting, when somebody steps out from behind their reading of a post and comments, that's automatically relevant to me, whether it's positive, negative, or whatever it is, because they were willing to get out of the passive side of taking information in and putting their opinion out there as well. I think when more people take those types of steps on blogs, or even to gather information about what to write about, you're taking a broader perspective, a community perspective. Sometimes you're tired of hearing yourself talk, honestly. And I've seen countless people go, well, I don't know what to write about, and I don't know what to say, and I'm kind of stuck. I think you have to have a healthy perspective, like Tiffany said, to keep things balanced and objective as much as you can. You can still have your opinion, but you shouldn't ask for people's opinions and go, well, I don't quite agree with that, so I'm not going to use that.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for participating, but actually you're not. Yeah, fair enough. Fair statement. All right, I'm going to put you all on the spot because, you know, let's be honest, that's what I do. I blog at two other multi-contributor blogs, both wonderful blogs, sisters of Performance I Create, HR Examiner and Fistful of Talent. And what I would tell you is that I would love to lie to you, actually. and tell you that I read every single blog post from every single contributor, and that's just not the truth. There are, at different points in my life, there are times when I just won't miss somebody's content. And with HR Examiner, it's Heather Bussing. If Heather posts, when Heather posts, I'll read it. I'll stop whatever I'm doing and I'll read it. I'll consume it. With Fistful of Talent, it's currently Tim Sackett. When he posts, I'll pull over the car, and I'll read his posts because it makes me laugh. It generally makes me think. Da 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 da. And again, they're not a popularity contest. And all this stuff, it's not to stroke anyone's ego. It's just there's certain people's content you're going to stop and kind of pay attention to. So for the two of you with Performance I Create, who's the one person right now that you're going to stop down in the middle of, you're interviewing somebody, you're like, oh, hold up, I got to read this real quick, I'll be right with you. Who is that person with Performance I Create that you've got to read their stuff as it publishes? Steve, you first, and then Tiffany, you second.
Man, that's cold.
It's part of how I roll.
That's cool. No, I'm going to give you the generic answer and then the direct answer.
Sure.
Every time I see somebody on our team read or post, I hear things that I never would have considered. So I make sure to read them all. The one I have all the time is Tiffany Keel. I read Tiffany's right away because I know that this is her forum to do blogging. And Justin Harris, for sure. Justin makes me laugh and keeps things bright. It's hard to say because you don't want to take any away from anybody else on the team, but I know I make sure to get both of them for sure.
Tiffany?
You know, it's quite interesting that I do the same thing. Because I want to understand what I'm sharing with, you know, the rest of the followers, I read every single post, absolutely every single one. Chris Ponder, Melissa Fairman, and Chris Fields, they are kind of behind the scenes and making sure that the posts are ready to go. So they send us an email. They say, hey, this is going up. Next morning, I read every single post, and then I start sharing. Favorite, I think I have to agree with Steve. I love Justin's style. He's fun. He even his own personal blog, Are You HR Relevant? I love, you know, what he has to say and how he has to say it and how he ties it, you know, back to kind of real life or brings real life into the HR world.
Yeah, there's something about humor for me. Like, I get enough of the serious content, you know, from LinkedIn and Huffington Post and all the other sources. It's like, I got to have something to entertain me. Dance for me. I need something to kind of make me laugh. But then again, that's just my personality. We got about a minute and a half left. Where can people reach y'all? What's the best way to reach Steve, you first, Tiffany, you second, and we'll roll out. And everyone pay attention to the hashtag OKHR, the Oklahoma SHRM hashtag. Steve, best way to connect with you?
Three places, Twitter, at SBrownHR, SBrown with an E. You can email me, sbrown@larosas.com. It's LARosas.com. Or on my blog, Everyday People, which William doesn't read.
That's because he's too busy reading my post, Steve. Come on.
That's right.
Fair statement. Tiffany?
Yep. So I'm on LinkedIn, Tiffany Keel. It's K-U-E-H-L. And on Twitter, at Tiffany Keel. And as William was so nice to point out, I'm also in the May 2014 edition of HR Magazine, page 64.
Boom, boom.
And then,
get your autographed
performance
copy.
And of course, Performance.
No,
PerformanceIcreate.com. Check it out.
Done deal. Y'all, thank you so much for blessing us with your time, energy, and brightness. Everyone, have a wonderful day, and thanks for listening to Drive Through HR.
Thanks, William.
And
thanks, Nisha.
Roll
thank
out
you.
To a little rush.